Welcome to This Season On.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of This Season On. I am your host, Paul Zimmerman, and on the other line, he's way more comfortable on a camel than Colton. It's Stephen Rooney. Stephen, what's happening?
Zim, I'm all right. Do we have to start using the Cash App now that John, the creator of Venmo, is no longer on the show? That's my biggest takeaway here.
Yeah, you know, and he left it like a bumbling, crying baby, so... you know, check, put all your stock in QuickPay because Venmo's going to go in the trash. They're not going to have a whole lot of updates coming up. Well, welcome to another episode. We are finally doing this the day after, thankfully, schedules permitted. We'll, of course, always try and get this as quickly as possible after the episode, but we'll talk about our winners, our losers, overall perspectives, and the Bachelor in Paradise cast came out. So we're going to be chatting about that too. But... Rooney, let's get to it. Who is your winner this week after another 2.5 hours of Becca and the Boring Boys?
I want to start actually with the most clear-cut winner / loser scenario. Two men enter, one man leaves. The two-on-one date.
Yes.
What were your takeaways from that?
So, I was a little bummed that they waited till after to kick Jordan off. It would have been cool to see them both stay there and kind of bicker at it. It wasn't a good look for either of them. Like, Jordan could have just done the high road and not say anything and try and just whatever quips Dave was throwing at him or given talking to Becca about, he could just sort of threw him to the side. But no, he had to be brash. And he had to use words that I don't even know what he was using, but in the wrong context, to talk about how important how well he managed whatever the heck was going on. So bad look all around. Good look for Becca because she wasn't part. She's getting really good at, you know, calling people on their bullshit. But then again, It's not that hard to do that when you have a bunch of doofuses around you like she does. So, you know, one of the better two-on-ones, but you knew it was going to happen from the jump.
Yeah, I appreciated how quick it was. And it was good. That helped it. Becca is good at knowing what she wants and calling the bullshit. She clearly wasn't into either of these guys. Props for her for still having the one-on-one date with Jordan afterwards, because he was never getting that.
Oh, no way.
But I disagree with you. And obviously my thoughts on Jordan are on record. They are in the internet. They are in the cloud. They are on Apple iTunes.
You're stuck, man. App. Yeah. This I season on if you haven't checked winner. It already. Yeah.
Jordan was never going to win. Jordan was never going to make it much further than this episode. The best thing Jordan could have done is dunked on David, which he did. He sent David packing. That, like, just impassioned speech tearing down David.
Yeah.
You have no personality. You don't have a name for yourself. Because what that is a shot at David, whose parents are, like, multimillionaires hundreds of times over.
Yeah.
And he just destroyed David. So I think Jordan is a huge winner, even though he was never getting that road. I still think it's a win.
Yeah, so, you know, good for, I mean, bummed we're going to see no more Jordan this season. I guess they're going to get more quote-unquote serious after they get out of Las Vegas. And, but they're still staying they're going to Virginia next. I always love how, like, by the third date, they're already in, like, France for The Bachelor, but The Bachelorette has to stay continental for at least, got to get all those miles for The Bachelor. Or The Bachelorette needs to get all the miles for The Bachelor so they don't get him out of the U.S. until, like, week 6 or 7.
It's very domestic early on.
Yeah.
That being said, the loser from the two-on-one obviously was David. He made it his mission. He thought he was going after a weak target, and he was going to own Jordan. Newsflash, buddy. Fuck you. That's what happens when you're a bully. You get dunked on by Jordan.
Yeah. And it was just, like, everyone in the house seemed to be over with it. Like, poor Colton, which is, like, you can't really feel sorry for Colton because he's a dweeb. But the way he was just stuck in between the two purple shirts when they were fighting with each other, when everyone else was on the group date, must have been pretty gnarly and not a fun scene to be a part of.
I appreciated Colton. Again, I hate Colton. We'll get to that later. I did appreciate when they came to pick David's bag, Colton said he had the wrong attitude going in,
yeah.
Which is 100% true.
Yeah.
Here's another quote that I'll say about it. David said, after he got eliminated, David said, Jordan only cares about himself. You know what's worse than that, David? Only caring about Jordan when you're another contestant.
That's 100% correct. And he came, and you know what? The producers got in his ear, and that was his whole game plan from the jump. And, you know, you picked the wrong horse. You always can manipulate the guy that wears the chicken suit on the first night. That's for sure.
I agree, man. And one thing I'm going to say, so we're going to get in the Bachelor in Paradise cast later.
Yeah, we are.
It's no surprise that Jordan and David are both going to be on it, which is great. I love. But here's the thing. David, they film it before the show comes out. So they've already filmed Paradise, or they're wrapping up, or they're currently filming it. David probably thinks that he owned Jordan and Jordan was an idiot. He probably went through Paradise not realizing that he got a terrible edit and came out looking significantly worse than Jordan. So it's going to be interesting to see their dynamic in Paradise. Again, David just riding Jordan's coattails all the way to Paradise.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, in that sense, like, we're talking about David, which I think, like, we wouldn't have talked to him about him at all this season if he didn't have his little feud with Jordan. So, you know, props for him. And I think, you know, this will be a storyline for a little bit until, like, nobody picks David, like, the first night of Paradise. And then he just goes away into the sunset with his bazillion dollars or whatever the heck he does. My loser for the episode definitely was David. I think another loser was definitely Chris. He was super arrogant. And then, I mean, you'd think, like, they schedule time for all the guys to talk to Becca. They don't just, like, go up there willy-nilly. And then he forgot to go up and talk to her. Or she didn't find him when they had their group date. Like, that was, and it wasn't like he, like, blew her out of the park. Like, Wayne Newton, which is, like, the only other time that I remember that his house was in, National Lampoon's Las Vegas Vacation, and how he tries to steal Beverly, or the mom. But I just feel like there was such arrogance for such a stupid competition. Like, these dudes are really, really bad. This might go down as, like, one of the worst seasons of The Bachelorette.
It's definitely starting to shape up that way.
Yeah.
Chris, such misplaced confidence. These performances, whenever they do these competitions, and they do them a few times a season, it's never about how you perform. It's about the attitude you have while you do it.
Yeah.
All the guys were confident, game, they laughed, they smiled. Just because you had the best performance, I'm using air quotes, doesn't give you it doesn't give you anything.
Right.
And he really came across poorly. His stubborn standoff with Wills was so uncomfortable for Becca. Wills handled it well. Chris just lacks all sorts of self-awareness.
So that's one of the things.
Of Jordan.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to chat with you about. Like, how would you handle that situation? I thought Wills handled it really, really well. Like, he establishes dominance, and the fact that he was, and plus, like, Wills' style, especially wearing the man romper and Yeezys to Wayne Newton's house, was pretty. You gotta give Wills, like, he doesn't seem to have much of a personality, but you gotta respect his flair. The way that he handled it, I thought that's the way that, you know, I'd like to see myself if I ever was in this situation, try to handle it. But, like, would you do anything different?
Me personally, I'm a bitch. I would have submitted pretty quickly, and I would have been like, okay, I'm clearly getting a rose. She clearly really likes me. We had the one-on-one last week. You know what, Chris, go ahead. And I would say something real sarcastic, like, hey, Beck, like, I'll see you when you're handing out roses, I guess.
Yeah. Or, but yeah, he, good luck, kid. But Will's kiss is really weird. Like, he does, like, something where, like, instead of, like, going forward, he, like, yeah, he, like, reneges and he, like, gets, like, all triple chinny. It's really, really weird. It's I can't imagine that being comfortable for anyone involved.
Yeah, no. And so I would have pitched out. He handled it well, and he clearly won when Becca was like, yeah, Chris, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
He clearly
won that situation.
I'll find you.
I'll find you or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make it – the whole thing was so awkward, and it puts Becca in a bad situation too.
Yeah. And I feel like they've been swerved – like the two things that – I'm seeing most in this season now are that they're going to talk about Ari at every second that they possibly can. And that's what, like, I mean, Colton was talking about Tia and Ari, like, the whole time that they were in their conversation. She's obviously, like, she likes Colton, but she's obviously, like, not, like, there's no sparks there. So I'm interested to see how Colton, far Colton goes, especially... Oh, and especially it was pretty great when they had the, when they were going to ride the camels and they passed the Virgin River, and very subtle ABC about Colton's alleged lack thereof sexual life. But
yeah,
it should be, yeah, I don't know. And I also feel like they're trying to put Becca in positions to be a strong woman, but then she has dudes that are trying to, like, creep her or, like, try and, like, make sure that she's still around them by, like, doing really creepy moves to try and kiss her, which is also uncomfortable. It's been a weird vibe for most of the season.
The creepy kissing is definitely a thing. I want to step back to Colton. He is, and you can tell who we like and dislike, because our winners and losers are pretty much the same every week.
Yeah.
Colton is a loser. I dislike Colton. Becca clearly really likes Colton. On paper, he's hot. He smiles. He's cute. He says the right thing. He's clearly not into Becca.
Yeah.
He is going through the motions. He's smiling when he needs to. He's saying the things he needs to keep going. He's hot, so she's naturally going to be physically attracted to him. He kisses her back, but he does not like Becca. He doesn't dislike her.
Yeah.
There's just no chemistry there.
No.
She really likes him. He's clearly indifferent, and it is so obvious. It jumps off the screen.
Yeah, like when he was saying, like, I'm, like, falling in love with you, like, you could tell, like, his eyes wanted to just, like, look anywhere but her face, because he's not a very good liar. So, I think...
He's not a very good liar.
No, he's not. And so, I mean, when Tia was there, and allegedly, some spoilers for... I guess we'll talk about this later, but, you know, when they bring out the list for Bachelor in Paradise, they do have some interesting inclusions. So I'm pretty excited for Bachelor in Paradise, to be honest. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like, what are some other takeaways? Wayne Newton, how old do you think Wayne Newton is? I told this to Liz, and she thought he was 89, which was 5 years younger than my grandfather, who was a POW in World War II. So I don't think he's 89. But yeah, how old do you think Wayne Newton is?
Before I guess, do you know the answer?
I do.
Gosh, you know, I would have said something pretty similar to that. 83?
He's 76.
He looks terrible for his age.
He's 76, but his face is like 23. You know? He is more Botox than the Kardashians. So, it's quite...
Back-to-back shout-outs for new pod listener David Gelfand texted me about how terrible Wayne Newton's face is. I was going to have him as a quick rapid-fire loser
this
week. Wayne Newton didn't have a great showing.
I guess, and who else would you pick in Las Vegas that would be, like, I wouldn't even want to say a mainstay, but, like the studio that they
a
look
magician.
Like. A magician? Yeah, I would have done that. And then... But then, yeah, it's Wayne Newton, and depending on, like, the studio or the stage that they hosted everything, he looked like he was pretty available to be on the Bachelorette.
That's what I noticed. These main stages, they have these theaters, you know, dedicated to them where they perform every night.
Yeah.
and they're big theaters. There's so much action in Las Vegas. That was clearly a hotel ballroom that they curved off and put like a riser.
That's true.
That's definitely not a permanent stage. Wayne Newton was a loser. Do we want to talk about winners?
So,
were there any?
I don't know. I mean, you know, trigger internet fingers aside, I like Garrett. I think he comes off as pretty in the alpha of the group. Like the way he was talking to Chris about the situation and how at the cocktail party. But I don't know. I don't think there's any winners. Because if I'm going to say, like, the guy that has terrible, like, internet or right-wing, like, takes is the winner this week, like, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah, let's just do a bonus loser, Lincoln. And the part of this is based on some podcasts I've listened to recently that have pointed it out more so. Becca's starting to lose the season a little bit. I had a lot of faith in her. She's just really, she's a great Midwestern girl, nice, pretty. She's been making good decisions and having good conversations. She just doesn't promote that extra bit of flavor that makes a season great.
Exactly. It's just, it doesn't seem there's a whole lot of chemistry, and I think that's a little bit on Becca and her just whole vibe. And then, like, if you remember back to, like, Ari's season, like, Becca, like, got the bad photo for the bios. Like, her photo, if you look, I mean, if you can, like, archive.com it or whatever, like, her photo does not look good. So it's like they've always had a hard time promoting her. And then, of course, it was just, like, this instance of where she got dumped by Ari. She wouldn't have been the Bachelorette any other way than that. So we'll see.
Yeah. That's the biggest telling sign, is that they struck while the iron was hot. It was probably the right move. The backlash over not picking Becca would have been bad. She's still serviceable, and she's doing a good job, and I still root for her. It's just not giving us any extra oomph.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think there would be much of a backlash for Becca. I think a lot of the public would be like, you know what, Becca, Ari's terrible, like, take a time out, see you in paradise, like, have fun for 2 weeks, like, don't go on The Bachelor. Don't go on The Bachelorette. I think that would be a better play. But then again, make that money. You know, I'm not gonna knock anyone's hustle.
Agreement. I think that's the biggest thing, is the money, because clearly being dumped so quickly and then going right into this has had more of an effect on her than I would have liked to admit.
Yeah.
It's clearly in the back of her mind. It's clearly on the tip of everyone's tongue. And it's clearly having an impact on the season. And I do think you are right about, there would have been a little backlash, but it would have blown over pretty quickly. I think you are right about that.
Yeah.
But these people make like $250,000. So it's hard to pass up that kind of money.
Oh, yeah.
For
the
first 8 weeks.
Yeah, right? And then you get to travel around the world, and you get like to wear pretty dresses and go to Utah twice or whatever. So they totally get it. So what else do you want to talk about this episode? I mean, again, like, you know, it felt like we kind of touched on everything. Do you want to go to the lineup for Bachelor in Paradise?
Yeah. Let's pull up the Paradise, and let's give each two guys and two gals that we're excited to see on Paradise.
Yes. So I will go first. So my first pick, can we allow to, like, repeat, or do you have to pick, like, four?
Let's try to avoid repeats.
Got
so why don't you give a guy or a girl, and then we'll just go back and forth.
Okay. So this is obviously, I got lucky being the first pick. I picked Jordan from Becca's season. He's going to be on. I think he's going to be really fun, and his personality is going to be toning him down a little bit, or he'll just amp it up and be like that dude from Canada that comes on all the time. Like, just...
Oh, Daniel?
Yeah, Daniel from Canada, and just bring it up to 11, and that's even better in a place like Paradise. Bring your gold pants, you're ready to go.
I like that. I agree, and obviously that would have been a repeat for me. I'm going to say Joe, because it's becoming a meme in Bachelor Nation on Twitter, Bachelor Nation Twitter, which I love watching. He's a good-looking guy. He didn't get a fair shake on Becca's season, and I think people are going to love him. I think
from Chicago, Southside of Chicago.
Joe from Chicago.
Joe from
Chicago.
So
that's what I'm going with, Joe.
So my next pick is going to be Crystal from RA season. Ooh. It looks like it's...
I wouldn't have guessed she was going to make it.
Well, she's there, and I think it's just because of Girl Gang on RA's team, or on RA season. Everyone seems really close, and I really don't like Crystal. I'd like to see how she tries to... if she tries to change her perception. And so I'm not really, I don't really care if she finds love or hangs hooks up with any of the guys. I'm more worried about the girl dynamic, which I think would be really interesting because it looks like it's a pretty heavy girls from RA season. So we'll see.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I'm going to say Tia. I'm excited to see Tia because of Girl Gang. I think it's going to be a really clicky season. Paradise always is.
Mm-hmm.
Tia's obviously going to start on the show. And I think she's going to be the A-list person that everyone's going to be going after. Kind of like Christina last season, but with a bigger personality. I think she's going to break hearts, be a bitch, and be an awesome character.
Good call. I like that. So then I think another one on this list that we're looking at is Kevin Went from Winter Games, a.k.a. Alleged took Ashley I's virginity. And... now that she is a free woman, I free is not the right word, sorry, a relieved woman? Is that better? I don't know.
I'm staying away from this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, smart. And now that she's with Jared, they're engaged. Allegedly, there's some rumors that they're going to get engaged on Bachelor in Paradise. I just want to see a camera of Kevin the whole time when they get married. Or whatever the heck happens. Like, of course they're going to be in Paradise. So whenever Jared is around Kevin, I'm most interested in that. I think Kevin lasts maybe a couple days because I think he'll probably just... But he's also my top candidate to just, like, not care and just try and bone whenever he possibly can. So, like, very... getting some real-world vibes, like, circa 2000s Las Vegas.
I love that. Great season. I have no idea what Kevin looks like. I knew that he's like Ashley Eyes virginity. Maybe they'll play that Ray J song, I Hit It First, when Ashley and Jared come out.
Oh, that's funny.
The second guy I'm excited for, I don't know why I'm such a fan of this guy, but keep in mind, I think there's going to be a lot more guys from Becca's season on here. They're just not announced yet.
Yeah.
Because they're still on the show. I don't know for sure. I just have to imagine. I'm excited for Nick. I randomly like Nick. I don't know why. I said it last week. Dude looks like he's constantly either about to go on one or come off of a giant cocaine bender. And I think that kind of wild card party mentality lends itself so well to Paradise.
Is he the one that wore the tracksuit?
Yes.
That's all you have to say. I think he's gonna find his element in Paradise, and I'm excited to see what he can... Now he's got the ball in his court to see what he can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I guess... what else do you want to talk about? I guess we can kind of wrap
up. Yeah,
Go ahead.
I'll give one shout-out to Astrid for having huge boobs, and she'll be fun for that first shot on Paradise.
Yep.
And a shout-out to this season on listener Marisa Weick. The biggest Annalise fan I know, aka the Kissing Bandit.
The Kissing Bandit.
Who's
afraid of everything.
Triumph,
so that should be. Let's see. I'm excited to see what fears they bring onto the beach with Annalise. That should be fun.
They'll definitely play it up. This week, the Paradise announcement definitely overshadowed the episode.
Yep.
I always like halfway through the season, they show the what's still to come. So there's some good juicy tidbits in there. A little bit of a boring episode. Starting to become a little bit more of a mundane season.
Yeah.
But still giving us something to talk about.
For sure. Well, we're excited for the future. Bachelor in Paradise, if anything else, is only about a month away in August. But until then, we'll be back next week. We will do our challenge preview pending the holiday or whatnot, because that's coming up in 2 weeks, I think. But other than that, keep watching and keep listening. And Rooney, you killed it.
Zim, much love.